Many people know about God. Many people believe in God. But the number of people who let God affect their day-to-day life drops significantly. And you'll see politicians who will claim to be whatever denomination. And then you look at what they do, and you could ask them about their church attendance or their understanding of the Bible, and they have no idea what they're talking about. And you say, that is not what Christianity is supposed to be. So for those, if you've been coming to church for a while, you've been saved for years, this is a good reminder about the importance of witnessing, of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. For those who are somewhat new, or those who don't normally come to church, you would say, why are you here on Sunday night? I thought it was a Sunday morning thing. I heard you guys meet on Wednesday. Why in the world do you come to church on Wednesdays? I am anxious to get in and get out and get on with my life. I hope this will explain to you a little bit about what we do here and why we do it. First off, I have six questions. Once I ask the first couple, I'm sure you guys will figure out the rest. The first question is who? Who is this all about? Who is this all about? Why are we here in church tonight? Why are people going out to get wet in a pool in the middle of the yard? Why are we doing this? It's because of who it's about. Mark chapter number 9, I'm at my next place in Revelation. Let's read Mark chapter 9, verse number 7. Mark 9, verse number 7, the Bible says, "And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" Who is it about? It is about Jesus Christ. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 9. Revelation chapter number 5. As we've said many times, if you have a hard time finding these places, it's better just to pause and listen than it is to spend the whole time just flipping through pages. But if you can get there, it's good to see it with your own eyes, helps you remember it, and prove that I'm not making it up. I mean, it's written in here. Revelation chapter number 5. Who is this all about? Let's look at verse number 11. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." How many is that? That's a lot. That's the end. That's a lot. A lot of people saying this. What are they saying? Verse number 12, saying with a loud voice, "This is a scene in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Who is that Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus Christ. As John the Baptist said before Jesus began his ministry, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Who is this all about? It is about the Lamb, Jesus Christ. "He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth." That includes you and me. "And under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." One day this every being is going to recognize God for who he is, and is not just going to recognize God, but will recognize his Son, Jesus Christ, as the Lamb who died to take away the sins of the world. Remember that Jesus Christ is so much more than just a story. We tend to think about Jesus a couple times of the year. One's coming up soon. I was in the store the other day, and I already saw candy canes on the counter for sale. Now, at Christmas time, a lot of people will talk about Jesus. And then there's another holiday we celebrate, Easter. And that's when people will talk about Jesus. But Jesus is more than just a man who was born, said some nice words that we like to say at weddings and funerals and things like that, and then
died and rose again. He is so much more than that. He is the Lamb of God. He is worthy of every creature to be praising his name. He is that's what this passage is telling us here in Revelation, that he is worthy. People don't just praise God, they praise the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just another one of the prophets who spoke religious things to the world. If you believe the Bible, it teaches that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior. He is the one and only one who is worthy of the praise. There have been plenty of people who've come after him, who we lift up. And we might say, man, what a powerful leader. What a great speaker. I liked reading about World War II a little bit. And you think, man, Churchill was the guy for the time. He's a bit of a wreck, but, you know, he was good for that time to keep, you know, England going through the fight. You read about men who came up with great inventions and were, you know, these titans of industry, just leaders, and could push people beyond their limits to get things done. No one ever comes close to Jesus Christ. He's not even in that category. Jesus Christ is alone as God in the flesh. No one else comes close to that. You say, why are we here tonight? To lift up Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ. There's been famous preachers that I love. I was just downstairs in the basement. What was that mumble for? Is Brother Garrett in here? Oh boy. I was just down in the basement and we were getting it ready because we're going to move the teens down there. Parents, if you want to withdraw your membership, I understand. No. We are cleaning it up. It's going to look pristine. We were talking about, I was sharing with some of the teenagers all the things we used to do down there in the church basement. Hard to believe that. I mean, that was the center of fellowship and parties and everything. I mean, that big cast iron stove. Still down there. It's mine, Blake. We joke that they found that in a field and decided to build a church around it because you cannot move that thing. It is not moving from the basement. It is a beast. And we're talking about that and all the things we're trying to get done down there. And why are we working down there? To lift up Jesus Christ. We were digging, found tapes. Tapes, cassette tapes. For days and days and days. Some of them, what was the oldest date? Who was helping me with that?
It was like 17.
17? I don't think it was 17. I think it was in the 70s though, like 78 or something. There, it can't be. What is it? 83 is the oldest. Well, you weren't there the whole time. You left, and then the girls finished it. Anyway, let's say it was 80. We'll compromise between the two stories. We'll find the happy middle. 1980, you look through some of those tapes. There's some names in there. Some boxes were Pastor Huber's tapes, and it's just lots of preachers, Danny Castle, and a lot of Modlish is in there, and some people that, you know, man, what a great man, what a great leader, what knowledge of the scriptures, how much we can learn from them. But be careful how much we lift up man, because every man is a sinner who's just saved by grace. Jesus Christ is who it is all about. I would joke in Mexico with the people there. They would say, why did you come to Mexico to preach? I said, because God knew I couldn't handle being in the States. I said, I'd get too proud. I would be the leader of a cult one day if I ever could. You know, I'd have the jet. I'd have some kind of holy thing you had to buy and send me $1,000 and God would buy. I could see myself doing that and thinking, but who should we lift up? It should be all about Jesus Christ. It's not about Roy Seatman. It's not about Nicholas Russo. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the center of it all. Number one, who is Jesus? Number two, what? This is going to be deep, I know. What? Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Jesus asked his disciples if they were going to forsake him like others. And Simon Peter responds, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no other religion, no other teacher, no other guru or self-help person who has the words of eternal life. It's only through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, to the Corinthians, and they have a bit of a struggle. Earlier in the chapter, he can see that there is division in the church because people are caught up on this.
They're caught up on who is important. Some people say it was Apollos, another big name who witnessed to me. And that's how I came to Jesus Christ. Some said, no, it was Cephas. He's the best teacher. He's the one who told me about Jesus Christ. And some said, no, it was Paul who wrote this. Paul is the only one who has the words of truth. And Paul says to them here in verse number 23, Corinthians 1, verse number 23, but we preach Christ crucified. It's not about who is the one doing the preaching so much as it is about who they are preaching about. And it should be always about Jesus Christ. He repeats this in the next book of 2 Corinthians when he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. What was their message? Their message was the gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew to lift up Jesus Christ as the person, but then what about Jesus? The gospel. That Jesus Christ was what? He was crucified. Jesus Christ was crucified. I got to preach to the young people this morning down in junior church. And what would I preach on? We preached about division or separation. And that was one, it was the group of friends. What was the other separation? To separate us from God. And that was the first thing he did way back in the beginning of time, was to separate man from God. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that's why we have the cross up here, that's why we have the crosses out on the hill. Why? It's to remind us of that sacrifice that Jesus made. We don't kneel and pray to this. We don't kneel and pray to the cross because we're praying to God. But the cross is a reminder to us that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he just wasn't an innocent man wrongly accused. He wasn't just they thought he was a political upriser, so they wanted him put to death. He died for a purpose. He died so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. So that everything I have ever done or ever will do that is against the will and the teachings of God, it can be washed away. It can be forgiven. Man, what a blessing that is. What do we preach? We preach the crucifixion, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ was died, he was buried, and he rose again. I was just explaining, my daughter Selah is going to get baptized tonight. You still awake back there, Selah? Yeah, she's awake. We're good. Okay. If not, you're going to hit that boiling water and you'll wake right up. Amen? What is, and I was explaining to her, she said, I want to get baptized. Well, what is baptism? She knew a little bit about it, but we were going through it. And it is that outward showing that I identify with Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like he was buried and rose again, that's why we go under the water and not just sprinkle it. Because you're supposed to be buried in the likeness of his death and raised up out like he rose from the dead in his resurrection. That is that outward show that I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not just here because I want to be a better person. I don't just come to church because, man, that I just love, Pastor Russo tells such nice stories. I come to church because I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it has changed my life. That day that you decide with a heart full of faith and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you cry out to him for forgiveness and salvation, that is the day that will change your life forever. The rest of my life has been built around that decision. The day I believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved here today, I hope you can say the same thing. That has changed my life forever. I have never been the same, nor will I ever be the same, because I am a Christian who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we preach here in the church. Not just to be a better person, not just my personal convictions. Pastor, why are you wearing a tie? I've seen preachers that wear jeans and a t-shirt. We're not worried about all that stuff right now. The most important decision you have to make is whether or not you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things you can talk about. Remember to focus on the gospel. If you're already saved here today, don't get caught up in the rest of the mess. It's most important that people understand the gospel first and foremost. If you're trying to witness to somebody and you have to bring up the Illuminati, or you have to talk about how the government is secretly embedded, and if you have to talk about any kind of crazy thing, you're off track. Amen? A lot of those things are fun to discuss after, and they're fun to talk about, but what's most important? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts, and that's what's going to matter at the end, if you believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Who is Jesus? What is the gospel? When? When are we supposed to share this message? When are we supposed to go to 1 Peter chapter number 3? 1 Peter chapter number 3. As Christians, when we're witnessing, we need to be careful not to complicate what is simple and not to oversimplify what is unexplainable. The fact that Jesus died on a cross and forgave the sins of the world, and if I trust in him, you cannot explain every detail. Salvation requires an essential ingredient called faith. Faith. I can't explain it all. You can't explain it all. Nobody can explain it all. It requires faith. And that's where so many people struggle. Because they want reason. They want logic. They want to understand it all. They want to have somebody there who can prove it through a scientific process. Or we have testimony. We can get into this, the testimony of the four Gospels. I mean, there are proofs. But it's going to eventually come down to faith. We need to be careful as Christians not to say, you just want to be a better, you love God? Oh, then you're okay. That's not what the Bible says. And at the same token, we don't want to say, here's a list of 100 things you need to understand before you can get saved. Can you explain to me sanctification, justification? What's that other one that's really weird? Imputation, not amputation, imputation. What? There's a list of shuns. You don't need to know all that to be saved. Don't overcomplicate it and don't oversimplify it. The gospel is the gospel. 1 Peter chapter number 3, I hope you found it. I have not gotten there yet. 1 Peter 3, verse number 15 tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And he says these next three words, and be ready. And be ready. The next word is also very important. When should we be ready? Always. To give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When should we be ready? When should we be looking to witness? When is a good time to share the gospel? Whenever God gives you the opportunity. Always you need to be ready. So who's ready? Who wants to come up and share the gospel? I'm not gonna make anybody, amen? But be ready. You have no idea who God has in your path coming up tomorrow, tonight, next week, next month. And God has done a divine meeting between you and that person so you could share them the gospel. Or at least lead them along their understanding of spiritual things. You need to be ready. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us this, for he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is going to come a moment in everyone's life where they make a decision. They might have different understandings of what the gospel is or who God is, but there's a moment of decision in everyone's life where they either pursue God or they reject God. That day might be today for you. Now is the day of salvation. Be ready. If you're already saved, be ready to give it. Remember, I like this, John chapter 3 and John chapter 4. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. What time of day, Brother Ray? You remember? Pressure, 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 pressure. Anyone over here? Mrs. Hodges? At night. We don't know. It doesn't say, I don't think it says the hour, but at night. How many of you are like me? And once the kid's bedtime hits, I don't want to do anything else. Once it's time, preach, brother. He's ready to testify. He's like, can I give a testimony? I'm ready to share. Now, but man, when it is time for the kids to be in bed,
you are in bed. There should be nothing. If there's no blood involved, I'm not interested. Go to sleep. I am tired. I'm ready to check out of being a dad. And now I just want to be fat and lazy. That's what I want to be. Nicodemus came to Jesus that night. And Jesus was ready. The next chapter, he meets the woman at the well. And he has sent his disciples away to do what? Anyone remember this story? Brother Haight? To get meat, to get food, which tells me that Jesus is hungry. And then when he meets the woman, he asks her for water, which tells me he was thirsty. We never read where he actually gets the water. And he is witnessing before the disciples ever come back. And we never see him actually eat the food. He goes right on to preaching and teaching after this. But he was ready when he was tired and when he was hungry. That's my life. I'm always tired and I'm always hungry. So I have no excuse why I should not be ready to share the gospel. You can't say, oh, it's just a bad day. You don't understand what's happened. Oh, it's just so late at night. Oh, I'm just so busy. That is not an excuse for a Christian, because it is our responsibility to share that gospel at any time God opens the door. Now, you cannot force someone to be saved. You cannot force someone to want to listen to you. But you need to be ready when the opportunity shows itself, right? I cannot just go to my neighbor's house and say, listen, this is what the Bible says. Sit down. I'm going to be here a while. I cannot do that. And even if they nodded and were polite and smiled, they have to decide for themselves. It is not my job to force people the gospel, but it is my job to be ready when they say, yeah, could you, I was actually thinking about, could you pray for me? I don't know how to pray. It's my job to be ready when that opportunity comes up. And if you're one of those people who say, I'm not sure about all this, today might be the day you're going to decide. Because one day, it's another when, and we don't know when, we're all going to stand before God and answer. Have I trusted in His Son, or have I trusted in something else? That day is going to come too. Now's the time to make the decision.
Let's go on. I'm going to go through these next ones faster. Stay with me. Number one, who? Jesus Christ. Number two, what? The gospel. When? Any moment. Number four, where? Where? Where do we share the gospel? When is the right time and place, you could say? Acts chapter 1 teaches us that when Jesus sent the disciples out, they started in Jerusalem. And what's the phrase it uses at the end of the verse? It says, unto the uttermost. Unto the uttermost. Where is it our responsibility to get the gospel? To the whole world. And we could read the Great Commission. We're going to have missions conference here in the next month. And man, we're going to hear a lot about this idea of getting the gospel not just here, but around the world. That is our responsibility, to get the gospel around the world. But it's also our responsibility. Go with me to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. It's not just our responsibility to preach Jesus and the gospel of Jesus in the far corners of the earth. Just like the disciples started in Jerusalem, your community, your circle is your Jerusalem. The people that you see at work, your neighbors, your family, that is your Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter number 14, the Bible says, and we don't have time tonight to go through the parable here, but the point of it is that the Lord is sending out servants to invite people into His house. A picture of God wanting His house, heaven, to be filled. And here's what He says in verse number 23. And the Lord said unto His servant, the servant is you and I, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. God's desire, and we see this in other portions of Scripture, is for all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. That is why He sent His Son. That is why Jesus came. All of it is so your soul
could be saved. And he sends us, as is his ambassadors, to go out into the highways, down the street, into the hedges, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He desires his house to be full, but it'll only be filled if you and I, Christian, fulfill our part. And we are that servant who needs to go out and share it. Now, as I said, you cannot force it into people, but you need to be ready. And that readiness doesn't just go to the moment, but also the place. If you're at work and the opportunity arises, now I do believe you need to be a good steward and a good testimony. You cannot say to your boss, well, I didn't get my work done because I spent the last 3 hours talking Bible to a fellow. Set up a time at lunch or after work and make it happen. I mean, a short conversation is fine, but make sure you're a good testimony with it. You're at the grocery store. The cashier says, oh, what do you mean? You have a church? Where is it? And you start talking. You can see the lines filling up behind you. Maybe you say, here's my phone number. Give me a call after and we can talk some more. But wherever God opens that door, to whoever he opens the door, we need to be ready. Number five, how? How do we share the gospel? Go to the book of Jude, almost at the end of your Bible. Two more points here. How? How do we share the gospel? The book of Jude, right before Revelation, a very short book in the Bible. Let's read verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Talking about that gospel, that mercy that gives us eternal life. And he says, and of some have compassion, making a difference in others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We see here two different methods of giving people the gospel. One is with compassion, and one is by fear. Now, one, to me, at least in our culture, in our day and age, seems a whole lot more effective than the other. And that is with compassion. Because even if I was to preach the fear of God and to bring a message about the torments of hell and the punishment to come, that would all be true. But if I don't do it with a heart of love, it'll make me sound like I am just angry and bitter and contentious and I want to destroy you. No, but the heart of it should always be in love. When Jesus saw the multitudes, sometimes he rebuked them, but it says over and over again that he was filled with compassion. When he preached, it was always with a heart of compassion, that these people are sheep that have gone astray. They just don't understand. They need the truth and they need to be brought. Now, the other group who suffers the fear are the ones who have heard the truth and rejected it. That day of judgment will be a fearful day. But you and I, we need to share the gospel with love. Share the compassion of God. We just read in this in the verse of the week, Psalm 86:15, a God full of compassion. God is desiring. He's plenteous in mercy and truth. He's desiring to save. And you also need to share it with urgency, realizing that at any moment, it could be our last day. James teaches us that we know not what shall be on the morrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Who can tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? Nobody can. That's why today is the day of salvation. And when you have a God-given opportunity to share the gospel, use it. Use it. And the last thing, why? Who is Jesus? What is the gospel? When? Any moment. Where? Next door and around the world. How? With compassion and urgency. And why? First off, it's the commandment of God. If you're saved here today, you are commanded by God to share the gospel with the world. That is the Great Commission. That is why we support missions. That is why we put gospel tracts out. We encourage you to share the gospel because it is the commandment of God. If you want to be obedient to God, you must witness. That is the commandment of God. We also share it to rescue the lost sinner. We mentioned a few weeks ago that ministry of reconciliation, where we are here in the place of Christ to share the gospel with those who don't know so that they can be reconciled, have things right with God. And lastly, why? To give God honor. And that is where we started in Revelation chapter number 5. The Lamb is worthy.
Say, Pastor, I've witnessed so many times. I've told my coworkers. I've told my neighbors. And nothing ever seems to come of it. Did you give God glory? Then it was worth it. So I've given out thousands of tracts and nobody ever comes to church. Did Jesus Christ get some glory? Then it was worth it. Because the purpose of our lives, as we talked about last week, is to give God glory. And that extends to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, would you come up and close the service?